Okay, so you know, Lyndon B. Johnson is the one who declared the third Sunday in June as Father's Day, and this was in his proclamation. This is what he said: "I invite state and local governments to cooperate in the observance of that day, and I urge all our people to give public and private expression to the love and gratitude which they bear for their father." So that kind of sums it all up, why we have Father's Day, all right? That was a proclamation, but eventually under President Nixon, he was the one who officially signed Father's Day into law, and that was in 1972. Sonora Dodd is the one officially recognized as the founder for Father's Day. She died 6 years after Father's Day became a permanent national holiday. So that's a brief history of Father's Day. But now I want to take a look at several fathers that are mentioned in Scripture. We've been looking at some of the characters in the Bible. You know, remember on Mother's Day we looked at some godly mothers in Scripture. And then in between there, we were looking at the 12 disciples. Remember the 12 disciples that Jesus selected these specific 12 people to help him in his ministry, to establish the church. But today we're going to look at some fathers who are mentioned in the Bible. And you know, these people are not in Scripture by accident. There's a reason that they're there. We can learn from them. Okay, so that's what we're going to be looking at today. The first father that I want to look at, that God placed on my heart here for this message, is Noah. We're going to look at Noah. You know, when you think of Noah, you might think of, you know, little baby nurseries that have cute little arks and animals throughout that nursery, or you might think of toys that you see, in toy stores, little arks and animals and books about them, but who really was Noah? Who was this man? You know, he is he helped save mankind, you know, by being obedient to God, but he was also a father. Noah was a father. And so we're going to look at Noah. You know, why is he in Scripture? I want to look at Noah from the perspective of a father today. Okay? Can we do that? All right. So in the days of Noah, the Bible says that Noah and his family, they lived in a world that was increasingly evil. Can we all relate with that? Okay. Because Scripture says that because the people and the thoughts of the people and the deeds of the people were so evil, God had to do some things there. Noah was a faithful man. It says that he walked with God. He found favor with God. I want to be obedient right here. As I was preparing for this message, you know, I'm ready to go talk about Noah being a father, you know. As I'm preparing for this message this week, a thought came to me. And it was this. As I'm thinking about, you know, the time where Noah and his family were living in, how evil it was. And this is the thought that came to me. And they don't even have internet back then. They didn't even have internet back then. That was a thought that came to me as I'm preparing. I wasn't planning that thought. So I just need to, you know, be obedient. And we're going to go there just briefly, okay, before we get into Noah. It was an evil time back then. There were giants in the land. They were mating with the women. God was not real pleased with that, okay? But, you know, we deal with all kinds of stuff today in this world. You know, we have the internet, guys. You know, it can be used for good, but it can also be a snare. It can be used for evil. Last week, we shared about Sergeant Mark Small. Remember the young man who was on the plaque on the little bench that we came upon? And he, the internet, you know, I said, well, gee, you know, this guy died when he was only 29 years old. Who is this man? What about him? And so my husband picked up his phone. Let's find out. And he picks up his phone, and all this information came up about this guy. And it was all, I mean, the guy was amazing young man. But you know what? You could be flipping through your phone, and innocently, stuff can come up on that phone that you didn't plan on looking at. All right? I'm talking about some things that are evil on that phone. You know, so we have to be good discerners of what's good and what's evil on the internet, on your phone, because it's just, it's in this world, guys. You know, the internet is laced with evil. You need to be aware of it. You need to know it, and you need to stand for what's, you know, what God stands for. You know, there's pornography on that stuff. And you know what? That's anti-God. That's against God. So we've got to be good discerners to know. I don't know who this is for. God placed it on my heart for someone in here, or maybe several. I don't know. But, you know, we need to be, you know, if we have a situation, you know, we got to take it to God. God doesn't want us addicted to anything, nothing. You know what? We repent. We repent. We ask God to help us. Ken Hagen, Papa Hagen? His wife was addicted to Coca-Cola. You know, I mean, can you go anywhere where there's not a Coca-Cola stand? You know, she'd walk past the Coca-Cola and she'd have to have a Coke. And one day God told her, you know, I don't want you addicted to that. And so she repented. She renounced that. She said, nothing will come between you and me, God. She cast that spirit out, and she was set free. Awesome. God doesn't want us addicted to anything, guys. So anyway, just wanted to share that with you. So I'm gonna get into looking at Noah here. Noah was a faithful man. The Bible says he walked with God. He found favor with God. Kathy, our first slide says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The next scripture, Kathy, Genesis 6:9. Noah was a just man. He was perfect in his generations. It says Noah walked with God. He walked with God. Do you know he was the great-grandson of Enoch? The Bible says Enoch walked with God. So there's some good things going on in this family. That word just, Kathy, the word just in Hebrew is tzaddik. It's tzaddik. It means just. It means lawful. It means conforming to God's laws and man's. It means righteous and upright. There's another word, the Greek word is dikaios. Dikaios means the same thing, just. So Noah was a just man. That word perfect in there, Kathy, the word perfect is tamim. Tamim. It means perfect. It means integrity. Noah was a man of integrity and truth. Without blemish. It means upright. It means undefiled. This is the kind of man that Noah was. Noah and his wife had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And God was, you know, Noah was 500 years old when he became a father. And so God was displeased with all the evil on the earth, and he sought to cleanse the earth of that evil by doing away with mankind, all except Noah and his family. All right? Kathy, could you bring up Genesis 6:12-14? So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. That's what God said to Noah. And then, of course, he gives him all the directions, you know, what to do, how to make this thing, what size to make it. And so, you know, he gives him directions. Put your wife in there. Put your sons and their wives in there. Bring these animals are coming to you. Put these animals in there. put the food in there, you know, so that you have food for everyone to survive, because there's going to be, the place is going to be flooded. They had never had a flood before. But Genesis 6:22, do we have that up there? Genesis 6:22 says, "Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did." So Noah was obedient. He was obedient to God. Noah was a father. God reveals things about this father in Scripture that he was very pleased with. First of all, I want to look at one of the characteristics. God entrusted Noah to repopulate the earth, right? He entrusted Noah for that. So Noah was trustworthy. We just saw Noah was a just man. He was a righteous man. He was a lawful man. He revered God. He honored God. These are qualities that God liked in Noah. And Noah was a father. And so he was obedient. Noah was obedient to God. It said that Noah did all that God commanded him to do. He was obedient. He was a man of integrity. He was a man of truth. Noah was a provider. He provided for his family. He made sure there was food in that ark to provide for his family and the animals that he was responsible over. He provided for them. He provided food. He provided shelter. He was a protector. He protected his family. He protected. He knew there was a flood coming. You know, God had warned him. And so he begins building this ark to, in obedience to God, to protect his family. And so, you know, there's no doubt that Noah probably had to deal with some criticism, you know. They never had a flood there before. And this thing's, he's building a huge ark that by the dimensions is big. Gary and I went out to Kentucky to see the replica of the ark that the Creation Museum built. We have that picture? Can you see that? That's the, maybe a few years ago, 3 years ago. So, okay. That's the ark in the background there. It's huge. You can go in it, and they have displays of how all those animals could have fit in that ark. People come against that, say, "Oh, you couldn't fit all those animals in there." But it's beautifully done. It's not too far. What's the drive, honey, to Kentucky? It's not very far, but it's a great vacation, guys. It's awesome to go. It's way cool. We may not all be able to get to Israel, but we can go see a replica of the ark. And not too, if you can't get to Israel, not. And not too far from the ark is a replica of Jesus' tomb, which is awesome. It's awesome.
We're recording this.
Uh-huh. When we went into Jesus' tomb, the presence in that place overtook us. I mean, I was crying and speaking in tongues, me and Kenny. We were in there. He took a corner. I took a corner. And I was just crying and just speaking in tongues. People would come in and would just, you know, look at us. They'll come in real quick. And then I started singing in tongues. Singing a hymn in tongue. I don't know. It was just beautiful. It was comforting. It was like a shalom peace, okay, as I was singing it in tongues, you know. And I felt like I was singing in different various tongues. And people that were coming in were understanding. The Asian, the Russians that were coming in. Because we were there at least 15 minutes. We could not go out. I wanted to come out of there, but I couldn't. I stayed in one corner. Kenny stayed in his corner. I'm just weeping and I'm just singing. And it was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful experience. Awesome. Knowing that the Ark of the Covenant was within feet of where he was buried. Hmm. Because in Scripture, you know, it states that he was crucified, his blood came down, earthquake, and then his blood had to hit on top of It was just amazing. Yeah, I just
powerful,
amazing.
Awesome. Thank you.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
The anointing in that place is.
You know the rep.
Kenny.
Uh huh.
Kenny As we were there, we sat before we went into the tomb, Kenny, the Holy Spirit had Kenny scream, "Give what Caesar's, what is Caesar's." He just blurred out, the Holy Spirit made him blur it out, just screamed it out. Everybody's looking our way. We're like, I looked at Kenny, I said, he's like, "It wasn't me. It wasn't me. It wasn't me." I said, "It came out of your mouth, man." He's like, "It wasn't me." He's like, "Whoa!" And but he said it. Wow. It was so powerful.
Yeah.
Give what Caesar what is Caesar's.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, there's another picture of the ark. You can see how big it is. Look at how tiny the people are. It was huge. They built it to the exact dimensions that are listed in Scripture, and it's just powerful, a powerful place to go. And even when you go to that replica of the tomb, similar things. It's just great. Anyway, Noah was a man of faith. He had faith in God. Actually, Noah is listed in the Hebrews Hall of Faith. Kathy, could you bring up Hebrews 11:7? "By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." So Noah was a man of faith. He was the priest. He was the spiritual leader of his family. He took the lead through this whole thing, and his family followed suit. They went into the ark with him. When the waters started to subside, Noah built an altar right there on the ground to the Lord. So he was the spiritual leader of his family. And the apostle Peter actually calls him a preacher of righteousness. A preacher of righteousness. 2 Peter 2:5. So Noah was the priest of his family, and he taught his family God's ways. These are very godly qualities that Scripture reveals to us about Noah. He was a father, and God was pleased with him. It would do us well, fathers, to emulate Noah. He was just a godly man. Another father in Scripture I felt that is worthy of our focus to be looking at today on Father's Day is Abraham. Abraham, Abraham is considered the father of the Jewish nation. His name in Hebrew actually means father of multitude, and his original name was Abram, and God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, as a symbol of the covenant that God would establish with him to multiply Abraham's descendants and to make him a great nation. Kathy, could we bring up Genesis 17? I want to look at verses 1-5 here. We're going to read those. Excuse me. "When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, 'I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant before me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly.' Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, 'As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations.'" So God is telling Abraham here that that he is going to bless him. He's going to multiply him. He will have an heir. At this time, Abraham and Sarah did not have any children at the time. And all God said was, "All you got to do is obey me. Just obey me and do what I say." And then we find out in Scripture, in Genesis 17, verse 19, just a few verses later, God's telling Abraham that Sarah, your wife, is going to bear a son. He's going to be bearing a son. Now, he was up there in age. They were beyond childbearing years. But God's telling Abraham that he's going to have a son. And 1 year later, Isaac was born. So God was faithful to his promise. I want to look at some of the characteristics of Abraham quickly as we're running out of time. First of all, Abraham was faithful to God. He was obedient to God, just like we saw in Noah. Okay? We can read about that the Hebrews Hall of Faith. Abraham is listed in the Hebrews Hall of Faith. Kathy, could you bring up our next scripture? Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. So Abraham had faith in God. He trusted God. God told him to leave his country. Go leave your country. I'm going to take you to a place that you don't know about yet. And so he did. He took up his family and he took off. So Abraham was faithful to God. he was obedient. And God trusted Abraham. Just like he trusted Noah, he trusted Abraham, and he made his covenant with him. Kathy, could you bring up Genesis 15:6? And he, this is talking about Abraham, he believed in the Lord, and he, God, accounted it to him for righteousness. So Abraham was a righteous man because of his faith in God. We can also see how Abraham trusted God. He was obedient in Genesis 22. Actually, can you go to your Bibles? Let's go to Genesis 22. And I want to look. Start at verse 1. Genesis 22, look at verse 1. We're looking at the obedience of Abraham. So I'm going to start reading at 22, starting in verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, Abraham said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering, and he arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Notice he says, we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father, he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told them, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hands on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And if you look down at verse 17 there, God, because of his faithfulness, God said, I will bless you and multiply. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. So in the scriptures that we just read, we saw that Abraham was obedient. No matter what the cost could be, he was obedient, but he was also faithful. He trusted God. He trusted God to the point that Abraham would offer the only son that God provided this the blessings to come through as a sacrifice. And of course, God stopped him and did provide a lamb. So we can also see from that Abraham was the priest of his family. He was the spiritual leader in his family. God tells us in our scripture that we should treat our children. Specifically, the Apostle Paul instructs fathers to lead their families in the area of discipline and instruction. Kathy, could you bring up Ephesians 6:4? Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Abraham did that. Okay, another father I want to look at quickly is Joseph. This is Joseph, Mary's husband. Okay, Joseph. Joseph is often very much forgotten. You know, a lot of emphasis is put on the Virgin Mother and the Christ child. You know, when we sing at Christmas time, we sing all these songs about the virgin birth and songs about Jesus. You know, we sing songs about O little town of Bethlehem, and you know, we three kings of Orient are. We sing about those things, but very little do we sing about Joseph. We don't see much about him. Actually, in scriptures, there are not even any words that we can quote from him. He's definitely important, or he wouldn't even be in there. He's in scripture. He wasn't. The biological father of Jesus, but God selected him to be the foster father, if you will, and so the spiritual father. So that's why we're looking at Joseph today. You know, you could be a foster father in here, just as we honor you. We honor you. You could be a spiritual father to someone. Maybe you've never had any children yourself. If you're a spiritual father to someone, we honor you. God honors godly men. He honors fathers. So Joseph was, he was a righteous man. He was compassionate. He was loving. Kathy, could you bring up Matthew 1:18 and 19? This is the NIV. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, because her husband was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Joseph was a just man. He was a lawful man. He followed the laws of God and the laws of man. He was faithful to the law, but he was also compassionate. He was very compassionate towards Mary. He didn't want to expose her publicly. And so he did not want to disgrace her. But I want to look at the very next verse because God sets everything straight. Matthew 1:20-21. This is the NIV. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Kathy, could you drop down to verse 24 and 25. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. So we can see from those scriptures that Joseph was faithful to God. He was obedient to God. He wasn't an angel. You know, he got a dream and he was supposed to take Mary as his wife, not be afraid to do that. He was to name the child Jesus, and he did all that just as he was instructed to do. And he also honored God. He didn't consummate the marriage until after Jesus was born. So, you know, in those days, an engagement was like being married to someone. It was you couldn't just dissolve that engagement like we do today, flippantly. But then you had to actually, it's kind of like us being married today. The only way a marriage can be dissolved is you have to go through the legal system to do that. That's what they had to do at that time as well. So we saw that Joseph was considerate. He was a compassionate man. He didn't want to disgrace Mary. Actually, Joseph could have had Mary stoned to death. That was the law. He could have had that done, but he was compassionate. And before he even heard the truth from God himself, he chose to not harm her. We can see in other scriptures that Joseph was a law-abiding citizen. Remember when Caesar Augustus said, you know, you have to all go back to your towns and we're going to take a census and we're going to register everybody. And that purpose really was for taxation. But Joseph was obedient and he took Mary and they went back to his town of Bethlehem. And of course, that's where Jesus was born. We can also read in scripture. Can you go in your Bibles to Matthew 2? I want to show again how he was obedient. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew 2, 13. I'm going to start reading in verse 13. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Herod was trying to destroy Jesus, and so God told them to take him to Egypt, and Joseph was obedient. So he was obedient. He took responsibility for his family. He protected them. He kept them safe. Another time, if you remember, Joseph and Mary went to the temple. They took Jesus to the temple. Remember when he was 12 years old? If you know the story, they took him to the temple. They wanted to celebrate the Passover festival. And on their return home, they went with a caravan. They couldn't find their son. They couldn't find Jesus. So Joseph and Mary immediately turned around. Last place they saw him was at the temple, and they went back to the temple. And so they went back there, and this is what go to Luke chapter 2. And I want to see what was spoken there. Luke chapter 2. We're looking at the characteristics of fathers here, what God reveals in Scripture. And I'm trying to do it quickly. Luke chapter 2. I want to look at verses 48 and 49. Okay, so Joseph and Mary find Jesus is in the temple. Jesus is with the teachers there in the temple. Verse 48, "So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you done this thing to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously.' And he said to them, 'Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?'" So that scripture reveals to us that Joseph, he was concerned for his son. You know, it's not his biological son, but yet it was his son. "Your father and I have sought you anxiously." So they were both concerned. So this father, Joseph, was righteous. He was a just man. He was considerate. He was compassionate. He was faithful to God. He honored God. He was obedient to God. We can see that in Scripture. He was a protector of his family. He was loving. He was a responsible father. So we can see why God would pick Joseph to be the father, this earthly father, for Jesus. Okay, there's one more father I want to look at, and this father is also located in the New Testament. We do not know his name, but it's the father of the prodigal son. I know it's a parable, but I believe that parable is in there for us to learn something from. Okay, so I want to look at the father. I believe he's a noteworthy figure. Oftentimes that parable is used to talk about the son, the prodigal son. But we're going to look at it, the Father, okay? We're going to look at the Father today. And so, Kathy, could you bring up Luke 15, 11 to 12? We're going to place focus on the Father. This is Luke 15, verses 11 to 12. Then he, this is Jesus speaking, if you look it in your Bibles, it should be in red, for those of you who have red letters. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. The father consented to his son's request. He loved his son. He consented. He divided up his wealth between the two boys. The youngest son, this is the one who made the request, he goes out and he lives it up. And he spends everything that he had. All the money ran dry. He lived a wild, very sinful life, Scripture reveals to us, and now he's penniless. So eventually he winds up working for someone in with the pigs. You know, he was overseer of those pigs, and he had to feed them to make sure that they were taken care of. But he didn't even have enough food for himself. Scripture says that this son would have been happy just to eat the same things that those pigs were eating. That's going pretty low, do you think? That's going pretty low. The scripture says he comes to his senses and he realizes that he had it pretty good when he was back there with his father. So he decides to humble himself and return home and ask for forgiveness and to work as one of his servants. Kathy, could you bring up Luke 15:20, please? And he, this is the young man, rose and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father said to him, and had compassion, and his father saw him and he had compassion, and he ran and fell on his neck and he kissed him. The father saw him afar off. The father had to be looking for him, had to be watching for his son to return one day. He had to be looking. And it says he had compassion on him. And he fell on his neck and he kissed him. That's his love. That's his love. That's his compassion for his son. And he loved his son. He was happy to see his son return. Kathy, could you go to Luke 15? We're starting at verse 21. And scripture says, and the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Verse 23, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to make merry. This father was watching for his son, and he was so pleased when the son returned to him. He was so happy. You know, that father didn't ask him to get down on his knees and beg. He loved him unconditionally. Didn't matter what he did. The father loved him, threw a party for him. That father extended his grace towards that son. He was gracious towards the son. Obviously a dedicated father. He had abundant love for his son, and mercy. He extended mercy to him. Those are attributes of awesome fathers. You know, we looked at four fathers listed in Scripture. We looked at the characteristics of those godly fathers. They're in there for a reason. God wants us to learn from them. And so these are some of the characteristics we just looked at that were found in Noah, Abraham, Joseph, and the prodigal son's father. Okay? They were trustworthy. They were just. They were righteous. They were all obedient to God. They revered and honored God. They were men of faith. Scripture said they were men of integrity and truth. They all were providers for their family. They were protectors of their family. They were spiritual leaders in their family. They were the priests of their family. They were the leaders. You know, God gives us an order in family, and He puts the fathers as the head of the family. When fathers are missing, obviously, then the mothers, you know, take that place. But God designed the order in the family. These godly men were compassionate. They were considerate. They were forgiving. They were merciful. They were gracious. All amazing qualities that we see in Scripture. You may recognize some of those qualities in your own father. You all had fathers. You may have recognized some or all of them. Or you may have had a father that you would say right now, wow, he was really lacking. The Bible doesn't ask us to judge our fathers. The Bible commands that we honor our fathers. And so Ephesians 6, Kathy, Ephesians 6, verses 2 and 3. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Because today is Father's Day, we want to honor fathers, and we'll be doing that very shortly. But here's the thing, you know, whether you had a father that had many, some, or none of those qualities, we all have a heavenly Father. We all have a heavenly Father in heaven that far surpasses any of the fathers we just looked at. It's God. We sang about Him earlier this morning, how His love for us, it is unconditional. The grace, the love, the mercy that we receive from God. Scripture says there is no greater love than a man lay down his life. God laid down His own Son for us. Jesus went willingly to that cross to pay for our sins. That's the love of our Heavenly Father. Amen. We lack nothing, church. We lack nothing. We're just so grateful for the fathers that God gave us. But our Heavenly Father even surpasses them. There's nothing lacking in our Heavenly Father at all. He loves each one of us. And so I just ask you to receive the love of the Father. If you haven't received Jesus, today's a good day to do it. You say, Father, thank you. I trust that Jesus is your Son. Scripture says it. It says He's your Son, and that He went to die for my sins on the cross. There's no greater love for that. He died for my sins. Thank you. Thank you for forgiving my sins and for sending Jesus to pay for them. And you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Real simple. Very simple. If you haven't done it, I just ask you that you would do that today. I do want to take some time to share something that was given to me last year, or shortly after Father's Day. And it was actually written by one of our fathers in here today. And so I want to share this. This was written by Barry Heisler's son, Nick, and it was sent to him. So I have a copy of that letter to his father. It says, Happy Kingdom Dad Day, Brother Dad. Because of you, this is what I think of on Father's Day. I love when Jesus was a boy and told his mom, didn't you know I would be at my father's house? He is the Father of lights and all things good. He is Abba. I have learned to stay focused in this life through you. Hence, I say, I am about my father's business. Brother Yeshua says, why do you call me good? Only my father is good. I only do what I see my father doing. Dad, all of this was made possible because you obeyed. Your seed has manifested two generations of kingdom heirs so far. And Isaiah, Ruby, Bryson, and Debbie have hidden his word in their hearts that we might not sin against him. May Father God smile on you today and show you his favor and Sabbath rest. Wow. Amen. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's to be treasured, Barry. Because you exemplified many of these very characteristics to your own son. You know, the place that you really see things, and you might see people out in public and see how all they could, you know, look real good and put their best foot forward. But you know what? Your family see what you really are at home. And Nick was revealing what he saw in his father. So today is Father's Day, and we want to honor all fathers right now, okay? If you are a father, if you have a biological child or children, I would ask you to stand up, please. Okay. If you are a spiritual father, you sow into the life of others, maybe who are younger, maybe the same age, maybe even older. If you are a spiritual father to anyone, I ask you to stand up, please. If you would consider yourself one who loves God and who desires to serve Him, you may not have any children, but you love God, you honor God, you know God is for real, and you belong to Him, I would like you to stand up as well. Take a look around, guys. See the men who are standing in your midst. Everyone is standing, every single one. Ladies, would you join me and applaud these men? Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for these godly men in our lives. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We honor you, Lord. We honor you. We thank you, Father, that these hearts are turned to you. We thank you, Father, for your hand, for your blessing upon each one of them. Father, I thank you that you give your knowledge, Lord, to them. That as they seek you, Father God, you download everything that they need. They've got questions, Father. I thank you that you give your supernatural knowledge, your supernatural wisdom, your word, Lord, to them, Father God. I thank you for your protection over them and over their household, Lord God. I thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor, Father, for each one here. We ask you to bless them, Father. We pray the blood of Jesus over them. We protect them, Father. We thank you. We're their families. We thank you, Father, for each one in here. We give you praise. We give you honor right now for these godly men in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Keep standing, please. Kayla, could you help me? And honey, I forget your name. Could you help me, please? I would like to, we have a gift for each one of you. And so I'd like to ask if you could please, every man who's standing, could you please wait till they give you a gift, and then you may be seated. We may make sure everyone's served. You may have a seat as soon as you receive your gift, so we know that everyone received. Awesome. Thank you very much. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you very much. Wonderful. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate your helping me out. So that's just a small token of our appreciation for you guys. You guys are the breadwinners. So we've just given you a little help there. Thank you. Thank you for being godly examples, not only to us in here, to your families at home, when you go to your jobs. Thank you for being to your neighbors. Wherever you go, your examples that could also be written into Scripture. Every one of you could be written in there, because you exemplify many of these qualities yourselves. So thank you. We applaud you. This is a day about honoring godly men. So we thank you. And so I'm going to close this out in prayer, because I know everyone's got all kinds of wonderful things to do today. We do have some fellowship food back there. Some ladies put some things together for our Father. So before you go, if you'd like to partake of some of those things and just hang out a little bit, and we'll bless that food. So Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this awesome day. You have set it aside, Lord, so that we could honor godly men that you have created, that look to you, Father, for wisdom and direction. We give you praise. We give you honor, Father. Lord, but thank you. We want to thank you for demonstrating the greatest love of all that a father could have. You sent your only son, Jesus, to die for our sins. We thank you for that, Father. We give you praise. Christ died for us while we were still yet sinners. While we were still sinners, we thank you, Father. Thank you for your amazing, unconditional love. And Lord, I thank you for each of these men in here today, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for their lives. Thank you for blessing them. We honor fathers today, just as you have commanded us to do. Some may not even know who their earthly father was, but we honor them. Lord, every father in here, every person in here, Lord, we've all got fathers. We want to honor, too, those fathers. They may have already gone on to heaven. They may already be in the afterlife. They may be still living on this planet. I thank you, Father, for everyone's father here, or none of these would be able to be here without their fathers. So we thank you, Father. We give you praise for orchestrating it so that each one could be here today. I give you praise. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, for each man representative here, and I ask you to bless their families. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for godly men. You're so good to us. We thank you for the godly women that serve you as well. You're just awesome, Lord. We're so grateful. You give us, in your word, guidelines to help us to be better fathers and better mothers, and Lord, we just give you praise for that. Thank you for these godly. Thank you for Noah. Thank you for Abraham, Lord God. Thank you for Joseph. He wasn't the biological father, but he was the foster father. Fathers everywhere. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you for the story of the prodigal son's father, Lord God. We give you praise. But most importantly, Lord, you are the Father of all. We give our praise, our adoration, our thanksgiving to you. Worthy are you to receive our praise. We ask you, Lord, now to bless this food that we're about to receive, Father, during our fellowship time. Bless the fellowship time, Lord. We thank you, Father, that the discussions and the comments amongst each other are pleasing in your sight, Lord God. We just want to honor you, Father. We honor you today. You're worthy to be honored. Bless the food now that we receive. And Lord, as we each leave this place today, Father, I thank you that that those of us who have time to spend with their fathers, that you bless that time. Father, even those who are not here that are normally here today, Lord God, that they're spending time with their fathers today, Father, I thank you that you bless their time. Lord, while the witches are away, I know the witches are there, they have vacation. Lord, I ask you to bless their time away and to protect them, Lord God, as they vacation there in Tennessee. Father, we just thank you for all that you do. You are worthy to be praised and honored, and that's what we choose to do today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.